a 50-plus businessman who got up late in life and decided to do stand-up comedy so that he could tick it off his bucket list. Well, that's how comedian Atul Khatri defines the best decision of his life. To break the monotony, he wanted to try bartending and DJ, but that didn't work out. While figuring out what to do with life, he kept posting jokes on Facebook as a comic relief. There, he realized he has a sense of humor people appreciate, and that made him sign up for an open mic. He vividly remembers that night, hands sweating and legs shivering, but little did he know, winning that 4-minute slot will help him win over his midlife crisis too. Hello, Mr. Khatri. How are you doing?
Thank you, Sakshi. Thank you so much for having me here.
Likewise. So, an IT businessman turned comedian. You must have heard this a lot of times, that you started comedy at the age of 45 and what followed post that.
Correct.
But when you began, I want to know the initial thought that said you can give this a chance and just go for it.
So basically, you know, one thing, see, I was at 44, 45 when I, you know, I was in a very comfortable position in my life in terms of my job and life and things like that. So, but something at the back of my head, you know, I used to always think that, is it going to end this way, that one day I'll be continue working till the age of 60, 70, then one day I'll retire. And so I didn't want, you know, that when I'm old, I should not feel that, hey, I should have at least given a shot at this. You know, at least I should have tried it. So that was one thing which used to really bother me. And that's why when I said that, you know, I must take this leap of faith and start doing comedy, at least just started as a passion and then it became a profession. And I actually recommend this to everybody that, you know, if you have something in your mind that you want to try something, do try it out. You know, life is moving very, very fast and you must give it a shot. And then finally you can decide whether you want to do it or not do it, but at least give it a shot. So I think that was very, very important, that was going through my mind at that time, that I must at least try it out. You know, if it doesn't work, it's okay. If it works, very good. And in Touchwood, in my case, it worked. So, you know, thanks to that, I'm sitting in.
I mean, a life with risks is so much better than a life with regrets.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how were the initial days actually? Like, you signed some open mic sessions, so people started coming to you. How was it like?
I used to do a lot of open mics all over Mumbai. Some friends having a birthday party at home. He used to say, "Hey, you do comedy, can you come and do comedy?" I said, "Ha, of course I'll do." You know, and so those also gigs also toughen you a lot, you know, because when you have performed for, you know, 8 people in somebody's house where the bar is open, food is being served, and you made them laugh, it's you, you know. But then when you are doing the same set in an auditorium where people are listening to you, it's a very different experience, you know. So those gigs really toughen you. And I think every artist should go through that entire round of, you know, those kind of gigs before you start hitting bigger auditoriums or bigger shows.
Right. And, you know, your style is so smooth. Like, you just joke and go and agla insaan is like, "Achha, bol bhi kya?" I mean, it's just so quick and smooth.
Thank you, actually. But let me tell you this also, you know, there's a lot of work which goes behind
Definitely.
And so, you know, one of the biggest things of stand-up comedy is the audience feels that the comedian has come on the spot and made all those jokes, you know.
But that's not true.
It's all a written set. It's a scripted set. It's just like a performance. People should know that. And that's actually the biggest appreciation you get from audience, when they think that you have come there and spoken everything from the, you know, from your top of your head, you know. And that's the biggest compliment a comedian can get, when, you know, "Achha, this was all rehearsed. We thought you were all just talking from the top of your head." You know?
Yeah, because it looks so natural and organic, no?
Correct.
That, yeah. So how do you like the writing process?
Oh, the writing process is actually the toughest process of comedy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, writing, I mean, again, for people who don't know, we comedians, have to write original jokes. We don't take jokes from internet, from WhatsApp, you know, from here and there, from memes, from Instagram. These are all original jokes thought by the comedians from scratch. And it is that process, in my opinion, is very, very difficult. Every comedian has got his own process of writing jokes. Some people write it every day. Some people write it whenever they get a thought. So yes, it varies from comedian to comedian. But that, in my opinion, today is the most toughest part of stand-up comedy.
Yeah, the whole different process altogether. There's so much that goes behind that one performance somebody is giving there on stage.
Exactly.
So
every comedian is, suppose, talking about the same subject, for example. But you'll see all of them have such a different and varied angle based on their age, based on their personal experiences. And I think that's the beauty of stand-up comedy.
Right. Also, when the jokes are written by yourself, I think there's a different level of connect. Even the performer feels while performing.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. Because you have gone through the same experiences, you know. So, for example, if one of my most viral set is about the Justin Bieber concert, which I took my daughters to.
Now,
I went through that process, you know. A lot of those things happened to me. And obviously, there was some creative liberty you use, you expand, you know, your creative imagination you use, and you expand the set. But it was all, you know, once you experience it, it comes from the heart, and the audience can see that.
Right, exactly. I mean, so perfectly put. Whatever comes from heart, it's just felt.
Exactly.
You don't see it coming, it's just felt instantly.
Correct.
So, I mean, at 45, you know, switching trying your hands into something entirely different and new, which you thought you can be good, but you had no idea when you started.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the challenge is so much higher. But when it comes to comedians, so I personally feel ki whenever they share something, it always has a hint of humor. So it somehow decreases the intensity, or I feel the phase that person has gone through.
Exactly.
So I want you to talk about your challenging times, raw and unfiltered here.
So, you see, there are many times, finally, you have to understand that the comedian is a human being, just like everybody else.
Right.
Okay, so he also is going through experiences. He's also having, you know, emotions. He or she having emotions. And many times it happens that a comedian is going through some really like personal tragedy or some personal emotions or experiences. But when they go on stage, many a times you have to keep that aside and go and perform on the stage without people knowing what's happening behind, because it has happened to many comedians. I know so many comedians who have lost their loved ones, two, 3 days before the show, but the show tickets have been sold and they have to go and perform over there. And they do go and perform, you know, and for many times for comedians, the stage also is a big, like a platform where they can, you know, let go of their emotions also, you know. So I think it's very, very liberating even for the comedian sometimes to, like, I remember, I think 3 years back, I lost my dog, you know. I mean, and as you know, dogs are like just like your family members only, you know.
Yes.
And I was feeling very, very horrible that day because he passed away in the morning. The entire day, my daughters, everybody was crying and things like that. So in the evening, I actually, just to sort of de-stress, I actually went for a comedy show, you know, and I just went up on stage just for 5 minutes. I didn't talk about my dog, but I just went and did like a small set, and it just made me feel slightly better also, you know. I'm saying comedians do express something. People should not take it wrongly. Like sometimes what happens is that, like, I remember, like, last year I used to do this thing called Only Positive News.
Yes, during the COVID.
During the pandemic. And people used to get a lot of hate for that also. People are waiting to give you an opinion because they have the smartphone in front of them, in their palms. And, you know, you are there right in front of them. They will throw an opinion at you. They will troll you or do whatever they want with you, you know.
Yes. Does it affect you on a personal level?
It used to affect me, no longer now. So, again, if it's somebody who I know, suppose a close friend or a colleague of mine has put some opinion, I will listen to it. But if it's some troll sitting somewhere without a face, without a name, you know, just giving bad words, I prefer to ignore this. Yeah, you know, they're just troll. Their job is that.
I mean, most of the people who have experienced such trollings, over time, you know, they understand, they mature in that particular phase.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So one could argue that it is tougher for a comedian to prolong his success than it is for other artists, for example, a dancer or a singer, because jokes usually fade away, you know, sooner or later. So what do you do to remain relevant?
Same thing a musician goes. What does a musician, you know, creates music, you know, or creates songs, you know, which really doesn't mean, I mean, it's the same process for any dancer also. You know, I mean, I'm sure there must be some dancer who you loved 4 years back and today you don't even look at that dancer, maybe, you know, or you like the particular song, now you've even forgotten the name of the artist, you know. So I think that holds good for every artist, irrespective of whether it's comedy, music, dance, poetry, whatever, you know, rap. Everybody has their ups and downs, you know. For us also as comedians, our jokes also, you know, keep on evolving, you know. You have to also understand that in India, the stand-up comedy scene is a very, very young scene. It's just 10 years old, you know, compared to music, which is maybe 100 years old in India, or Bollywood, which is must be also 100 years old, you know. Comedy is just a 10-year-old scene, and I think we have still a long way to go. And I always tell people that, you know, whenever you write jokes, also you should write in such a way that the jokes are still funny even after you listen to them after 15 years, 20 years, 50 years, you know. Like, there is a very big famous cartoonist in Times of India, his name is R.K. Lakshman. Okay. Legendary, you know, and you see some of his cartoons today, which are from 1970, in the 1970s, you know,
And they still feel
they
relevant.
still, as if it is, he's written it yesterday. That's the beauty of you know, how he's made that cartoon or the joke, you know. So like that also, I don't think really that everybody has ups and downs depending upon each comedian, based on how hard they're working, how their struggles are, you know. And I think,
Yes, but how your personal process to stay relevant? I mean, is there something that you think about it specially, or just, I mean, go with the flow?
no, ma'am, you have to run every day to stand still,
Yes.
and that is not only for comedy, that's for any aspect, whether you're running a business, whether you're a journalist, whether you
Yeah.
are you know, whatever a profession,
Yeah,
you're
that
a
goes for
doctor,
everybody.
yeah,
Yes.
you have to work hard. If you're a doctor, you have to keep abreast of all the latest, you know, technology coming in, the latest news coming in. You have to keep on reading medical journals as to what's happening in the medical world. So everybody has to keep on learning, keep on learning, keep on learning, just to be maybe stand still, or you know, maybe just go with the flow. And it's the same which holds for the comedian also, you know. You have to finally perform what you feel is funny, what you like. That's most important.
Like we were just talking about the industry, the comedy scene in India.
Yes.
So how much do you think it has changed, or rather evolved, in terms of the content, audience, and exposure in general?
Oh yeah, it has evolved crazily in the last 10 years. I think India has seen an exponential rise in comedy. So first of all, the comedy scene in India was very, very urban, very niche audience, very English-speaking audience. But the last 3, 4 years, we have seen it comedy going across languages. So India's we are so beautiful in India. We have so many, you know, beautiful languages we have, you know. And today we have seen comedians doing comedy other than English, and obviously Hindi, Marathi, Punjabi, Tamil, Telugu, Sindhi. You name it, you name it, you know, people are doing comedy, and not one, there are like 10, 15 comedians doing comedy in that particular language, because you have to also understand our languages are so powerful, you know. They are much more powerful than English, our languages.
Yes, the regional growth is so much higher and fast.
Yeah, I remember at one time, you know, there were just 35 comedians in the entire country. That's it, 35, not even 36, you know. Today there are hundreds of them. You know, comedy is going into colleges, it is going into schools, you know, people are accepting it as a legal form of, proper form of entertainment. You know, that if you know that suppose you're to entertain some friends, you have a birthday party, you will think, "Achha, what should I do? Take them out for dinner, take them for a movie. Oh, let me take them for a comedy show. We'll all have laughter and fun," you know. So today that has also happened. So it's got some legitimacy also, the industry
in terms of you know, as a proper art form. So I think that all of this is very, very important.
Right. Your actual persona and stand-up avatar are the same?
No, they're very different. They're very different, and you'll find this different in many comedians. We are very different on stage. We are very different on off.
But you're so natural that it just doesn't feel like. I mean,
yeah,
that's the beauty of it.
Yes, but I feel that it is, you know, we comedians, actually most comedians, I'm not saying me, but most comedians are introverts. They don't like to socialize, which is very, very opposing of what it is when you go on stage and,
right,
you know, wanting crowds and talking to them and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, there's a complaint, like a lot of people tell my wife also, oh, it's so fun, your husband is a comedian, there must be laugh and jokes happening. He says, no, he's just a horrible husband.
How is your real life different? You are, I mean, silent, quiet?
Yeah, I'm much a quieter person. I only sort of open up to friends who I know. And I don't really. So, you know, people expect comedians off stage will be like jokers running around, clowning around. No, that doesn't work that way. Most comedians are very, very serious.
Okay, so my listeners, please take a note of this. He's a silent and quiet person. Contrary to how so many of us had imagined you to be.
And continuously observing things, yeah.
Yeah. How safe do you think it is for comedians to have strong opinions today?
It is safe as long as you word your opinions in such a way that you convey the point without naming people.
Okay.
Absolutely, it is not safe. If you really look at it, it's really, really not safe, because today we are living in an environment where, you know, comedians have got arrested for not even saying a joke.
Right.
You know, on the presumption that they will be talking about jokes. So all these things have slightly changed. And honestly, it has not changed in India. It has changed everywhere in the world. You know, people have become very, very sensitive. People have become extremely woke. You know, jokes which you could say 8 years back, you can't even think of saying that now. You know, forget that. Jokes which you made with your friends in school, you can't even do it right now. You know, back in my school, if I had a best friend who wore very thick glasses, we used to call him battery. We used to call him soda water wala. We used to call him andha or whatever. You know, you try saying it now, you'll be called out for, you know.
Yeah, people have become so much more sensitive.
Yes, sensitive. Maybe rightfully so, because sometimes when we made those jokes, we really didn't think about the emotions of those people. But yeah, so I in a way agree with them also. But you have to be very careful about
it. Right. So, I mean, do you find it difficult to draw a line while, I mean, making jokes or delivering it?
No, so not really making a line. So I would say that, every individual has its own style. So I really cannot say that when it comes to me, I will talk about myself I don't do religious jokes because I don't understand it properly, you know. I can do a lot of political jokes, but I don't do it on stage. I only limit it to Twitter and Facebook, and, you know, because they are topical jokes. They are for that particular day, you know. So no point spending so much time writing a joke which, you know, after 3 months that political person may change the party and join the opposing party only. So your entire joke will fail.
Yeah.
You know? So no point investing so much energy and time and, you know, trying to flog a dead horse, you know, for such a long time. So the thing is that I hate fart jokes. I don't like them at all, personally, since the beginning. So I don't do fart jokes. So just like that, I don't do a lot of jokes which don't interest me or don't, you know, excite me. So that's how you do your jokes. You know, so it's everybody has their own individual process.
Yeah, that's their own style.
Exactly.
Yeah. What advice do you have for anyone considering a career in comedy?
First of all, right now, don't get into it because COVID is going on. It's a bad time to get into comedy because there's no open mics happening. Stage time is very, 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 I would say, very rare. So bad time to get into comedy right now. But if you're getting into comedy, it's as serious as any other profession. Like you want to become a doctor or a lawyer. It is as you have to work as hard as any of them, number one. Number two, write original jokes. Don't steal jokes from anybody. Number three, go and watch live stand-up comedy which is happening in your city or in your locality or wherever. Don't sit at home and watch Netflix pe kya ho raha hai, Amazon pe kya ho raha hai, comedians in US, UK, Europe. That's a very different market. See what comedians are doing in India. And last is, you know, hit as much as stage time as you can. That's about it. How much of a time you go up on stage, the more better you will get at your craft.
Okay, so here are some perfect reality checks for all my listeners from Mr. Atul. So please take note. We'll just have a short Q&A round now. Your journey in one word?
Exciting.
Okay. Is there a subject that can never be a part of your performances?
Maybe my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, there you banged it. Which one would you prefer and why? Number one is entertainment, entertainment, entertainment. And number two is using your mic as an opportunity to drive home a point along with humor.
I think the second part.
Okay. Can you recall an embarrassing moment on stage?
Yes, many times I have sometimes gone on stage and forgotten my set altogether. And then you sort of get it back and the best part is when you do that, you should acknowledge it to the crowd. So then they start clapping and they start telling you no problem, you know. So that has happened to me initially. Yeah.
Yeah. When you stay true to them.
Yeah. And you just, when you blank out, but then you acknowledge it and then they are so supportive. They clap, they say no problem, you know, then they try to, and yeah, it has happened to me. That has happened to me. Yeah.
Okay. Your favorite joke? It doesn't have to be by you.
There's a joke actually by a comedian. I remember it. You know, he's an Indian comedian. He said that I got hit so hard that I saw Jesus, you know. and he's saying, do you imagine how it is important for a Hindu person to see another person's God? You know, that's a joke, you know.
Okay.
How badly I got hit that I had to see another person's God.
Oh, yeah. Okay. A secret people don't know about you yet?
Don't know about me yet. I don't know, yaar. I don't think there are any secrets of mine, yaar.
No, there must be some. For sure.
When you say people, means my fans don't know about it. Obviously, family knows about it, but maybe I get very scared of cockroaches.
Okay. An advice you would give to 18-year-old Atul?
18-year-old, work hard, party hard, and you know, yes, these are the two advices. You know, do your work, keep a nice balance between work and partying, and play hard. Yeah, so very, very important. Yeah,
okay.
Don't take life too seriously.
Okay. Any regrets from life?
No, touch wood. No regrets from life. No regrets from life. Absolutely. Maybe I would have been a little bit taller. maybe 4 inches, 5 inches taller. It would be good. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. And the most predictable and the last one here. Why do you think it is important to celebrate your journey? That is the podcast.
I think it is very, very important to, you know, celebrate your journey because, first of all, you have been through those experiences of life, and it is very, very important that you acknowledge them. You know, it may be, you may have had positive experiences, you may have negative experiences. Remember, the negative experiences of life have maybe made you more tougher, have made you more hardened. This and the positive aspects of experiences which you have in life, please enjoy them, appreciate them, and you know, thank God, if you believe in God, for those experiences. Yes. So both positive, negative, take it in a positive spirit. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah.
I didn't get bored 1 minute of it, one bit of it. Yeah.
It was such a fun and unfiltered conversation. Thank you so much. And
Thank you, Sakshi. I just loved having you with us. Thank you, Sakshi. All the best to you and your podcast, and to all the listeners. All the best wherever you are. Stay safe and keep yourself mentally positive.